Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 348. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me this evening is Harrison Milfeld.
What's up, everybody?
And yet again, it's a two-man show.
No, last week wasn't a two-man. We had three-man, but yeah, it was.
it's a lot more common of recent times to have these two-man shows.
We needed Colin for the direct opinions on there, and it's a two-man show here again, so you have to deal with both.
With this two-man theme, we've got two features for you. We're going to start off with Nintendo news, and then move on to a feature about talking N64 and DS games which could come to the new virtual consoles on the Wii U. But to kick start us with our Nintendo news, we have some news around Level 5 from their Vision conference.
Vision?
Yeah, that's what they call it. They have one every year. And the big news which came out of this is the announcement for the Western release for Yokai Watch, which has been an absolutely huge franchise in Japan, but it has stayed in Japan until today. They've announced that it's going to be launching next year, although they've kept it quite vague. They've just said the Yokai Watch, you know, franchise is coming out.
With Yokai Watch, whatever, I remember hearing about the news this week. I've known the name on there, but I haven't really known premise or gameplay mechanics. Can you lay down the news for me exactly, Lewis? I'm out of the loop on this one.
Well, my simple summary is it's essentially Pokemon with exclusive ghost types.
So it's as if basically the ghost types from Pokemon just said, you know what, we want our own game.
Yeah, and something to do with the watch, of course. I'm not entirely sure. I imagine it'd be quite fun listening back to this in a year's time.
Did they just want to announce this because the Apple Watch was coming out this week, whatever? Oh, wow, good marketing. Maybe we can get some clicks.
Yeah.
I know, that was a bad joke, but yeah.
I've actually seen a spoof of the... Oh, actually, I think there's an official, Apple Watch spoof in one of the games, or like, the anime or something, and it's got, like, a...
Wait, is it anime, too?
I believe so, unless it's just, cutscenes from the game, unless they're high production value, but I think there's an anime in Japan. But there's actually a Steve Jobs character, a yokai character in this, who's a shark, but he looks quite...
Oh. does he wear black turtlenecks?
He does, but he announces the Yokai Watch, so it is an Apple spoof. It's quite funny, actually. I only found about a few days ago.
I have to check this out. You may have to link that.
Yeah,
in.
But it's all completely official, so it's obviously sense of humor in this.
You might have to link that into the description of the podcast just for everybody, because I feel like anybody's listening that wants to see this.
Don't worry, it's going to be splashed across the banner image for the episode.
Just a ghost shark wearing a black turtleneck.
Ghost Shark
and just,
Steve.
Shark Steve, I like that.
Yeah, the big news is Yokai Watch is coming over here. It'll be interesting to see if it's going to be the very first game or game number 3, which was announced also at the Vision conference. Yokai Watch 3 is based in America, which is potentially quite telling. Whereas the first two games were based in Japan, the third is going to be kind of localized with American towns and American yokai.
But probably, would they probably go... Wait, the third one was based in America, but it was released in Japan already, correct?
Oh, no, the third one was just announced at this Vision conference.
Okay, so there is that possibility that it could take that same sense of, satire of Americana, kind of how Earthbound did.
Yes, very possibly. And it'd be interesting to see how well this one is received in Japan. Whereas, obviously, the first two games were not only released in Japan, but they were actually based in a Japanese town. So wondering if that would affect the success of the third game over there or not. But yeah, I think number 3 will be the one which gets released in America and Europe. It seems to make the most sense, opposed to just releasing one when they get 3, and then us being, several years out of date for quite some time.
Or just announce 1 and 2 and package them for cheap and...
Maybe.
Whatever. We'll see.
Yeah, I've got a feeling they're going to try and recreate the Pokemon type success with releasing the anime over here at the same time and a bunch of other merchandise that kids can go out and buy as well and get fully enwrapped in the Yo-Kai Watch world. But yeah, and not only were there those Yo-Kai Watch announcements, there were even more Yo-Kai Watch announcements. There's also a spin-off game called Yo-Kai Watch Busters, which seems some sort of parody of Ghostbusters, perhaps?
Oh, I couldn't tell.
Exactly, yeah.
Really? Oh, wow.
And there's going to be not one, but two versions of this spin-off game. I don't know if that's in Pokemon-esque fashion as well. But there's going to be two of those for Japanese people to go out and buy later on in the year. And there's another spin-off game. It doesn't have a name yet, but it's going to be a crossover with Koei Tecmo in the same vein as Pokemon Conquest. So it's going to...
Wait, Pokemon Conquest was...
It was, yeah. It was Tecmo Koei title. And
wow,
so
I've been way out of the loop on that one. Jeez.
So yeah, that was the DS game, which was a mix between like the Romance of the Three Kings type gameplay with obviously...
wait, which one? There's like 9 or 12 of them.
Exactly, but that's type of gameplay. This is going to do the same sort of thing with the Yo-Kai Watch treatment. So it's quite telling, really. Like, this is the type of spin-off they did with Pokemon, and just spin-offs in general. It does seem like, at least in Japan, this is getting the same sort of success as early Pokemon was. And so I think Level 5 is really going to be eager to try and recapture that across the world, because obviously if they
Let's not get too ahead. I mean,
what they want out of this. Whether they're is going to be very different.
They want that success. No, they want it to be successful. I don't blame the idea of that, but to kind of like, if we're expecting this to be like, oh, a worldwide phenomenon like Pokemon was from 97 till 2002, I highly doubt that. But no, I'm saying this will be successful, but that's a bit of a reach saying like, oh, to reach phenomenal levels. Like,
yeah. Well, they're kind of like lining their... I don't know, they're lining all their pieces up, like, just in case it does set up.
I think, we know how this can be successful.
Okay.
And it starts with one word. Amiibo.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, there we go.
The new 3DS.
It sells itself.
Actually, that does make a nice transition onto the next Level 5 announcement here. It's not Amiibo per se, but Level 5 also announced a new IP, and they kind of built this up. It's going to be their next cross-platform series, and it's entitled Snack World, which I'm still not entirely sure why it's called that, but they...
I don't even know what it's called. I just watched the trailer before we were recording this, and it was the first thing I kept seeing. It was just one, like, the trailer you showed me was an 8-minute long, essentially a cinematic, but what I felt like I was watching was like a Rankin Bass, like, claymation film, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed, way the mouse were moving and the way they were moving, animation, the art style looked really interesting, plus there were scenes that were really funny, but it just... I kept saying, like, okay, what type of game is this? What's the gameplay?
Yeah, I was trying to work out what sort of game it was going to be. Platform-wise, it's coming out on the 3DS. There's also in some form coming out on mobile. And I believe there's also going to be a film lined up for the same year this gets released.
Okay.
And the Amiibo-esque thing is apparently it's going to use NFC-type keychains. Which you can use to interact with the games. So they're not Amiibo, but it's going to use some sort of NFC technology so you can swipe things on and get stuff in the games. So it'd be interesting how they pull that off, and I assume that's going to potentially mean it's going to be exclusive to the new 3DS, unless it comes with some sort of peripheral.
That reminds me, okay, have they released the...
not yet.
NFC? They haven't released the NFC peripheral for the current 3DSs?
No. I think they might have touched on that again on the last Direct. Maybe it comes along when that weird Animal Crossing spin-off game does, which uses the NFC cards.
Yeah, that's No, that's very odd, knowing that you have
We obviously got Smash.
Well, you have Smash. You have codename Steam.
True, yeah.
I'm losing it here, whatever. But
well, technically, you've got Xenoblade, but that's new 3DS only, anyway.
Oh yeah, that came out this week. I forgot. It's the one reason why I want to get like a new 3DS, just because I kind of want to revisit it, and I don't feel like paying like $80 to $90 for Xenoblade on my just to play on my Wii U.
That's a very good point. Yeah, if you look at it that way.
No, it is. I mean, Monster Game, like for my what the Monster Games, the guys who were actually responsible for porting the game actually looks like it did a really good job. But I'm getting way off topic here about level. We have more level 5 stuff to talk about.
There is more, even more level 5. We're moving on to Layton, not to be confused with Professor Layton,
or my my infant nephew who is named Layton.
Of course, not
spelled the same way, but yeah.
And there's also in a bit of a confusing title as well, Layton 7, which could, in theory, make this the next chronological Professor Layton game, which there are 6 of currently. This was announced at last year's Vision Conference, and they put some more information about it this week. However, the only information screens they gave were from the mobile versions, where previously it was also pegged as coming for the 3DS. So whether that's still the case, it's a bit unsure. But they showed it off on Android and iPhones, and they've now shown it as a card-based game, obviously a digital card-based game. And it seems that there are a kind of games which take place between 7 players, whether they're virtual or not. And one of them is a witch who you don't know, and the idea is you've got to solve the mystery of who is the witch.
She's a witch!
Essentially, yeah, it's a little bit like a witch hunt. I guess, also, ironically, in a bit of a Layton versus Phoenix Wright style, because that's kind of the premise of that game. You were, like, on witch hunts and so on. So it looks quite interesting. However, I would like to hear more about the 3DS version that they did announce.
Is it a bit concerning for you that level 5 is going a little bit more mobile?
Like, it just is. Yeah, it is quite concerning, really. I mean, it goes with the next announcement as well, which I'll quickly say, because it's quite relevant to what you've just said, which is, in quotes, Fantasy Life 2 has been announced. However, it is essentially a port of Fantasy Life for the 3DS, but it's for mobile.
Level 5, I like you to death. I may have not jumped so much into Layton, but, I mean, this sounds weird for me coming where I kind of accept the idea of the Nintendo DNA deal.
Yeah.
But it just, this feels like an area level, it feels like they may lose a little bit of muster, I mean, for that development. Whereas Nintendo, like, using their own IPs for that. Yeah. It's, I know that goes against what I was saying in the past podcast about DNA, but it's, I don't know. That's really weird.
It is. Well, what I find peculiar is the fact that it's called Fantasy Life 2. I mean, fair enough, if you just, like, happen to release Fantasy Life off of phones, like, you know, this amount of time after the original 3DS release, they find a way to get that working for a new market. Good for them, really. Expand the audience. But why call it Fantasy Life 2 and then essentially just be the original game, but for phones?
This is really kind of going that same territory where you have, like, movie titles that are in different territory, like, movies that are released in different territories, but they screw up the chronology, like, the chronology. Yeah. What can I think of? Obvious one. It's Final Fantasy, but again, this is not the same case of that, where no. It's like, oh, you are calling this one, yeah, well, actually it is. Wow, you're calling the first game the second one when it should be this. It's Final Fantasy 3 and 6 and all the other titles all over again. Oh, just a mess. That's a mess. But I'm exaggerating there for a point, so.
But I mean, it is a bit bizarre. I mean, in terms of, like, the Layton card game, that seems like a fairly good fix. It seems like it was almost designed with that in mind.
I mean,
because it's a digital card game, that's quite fitting for the mobile space. It's not a game where you took a D-pad and buttons and you needed quick reflexes. It seems a game you can take your time and you go through your cards and you're trying to work these puzzles out. That seems a fine fit. But it'd be interesting to see if like the announcement of Fantasy Life 2 means they've decided that like Fantasy Life is now going to be like a mobile franchise, and like three and four and so on are going to be mobile releases. But again, quite a bit.
Are you suggesting that their level 5 is going to like, well, they thought the first game was the they thought the sequel was wasn't the first game, let's just keep doing that. I mean, I know that won't work, but I'm just
Yeah,
saying that.
maybe they think that it's got more potential. Maybe that means they weren't as happy with the sales they got for that game on the 3DS, and they thought, yeah, they could make more
Wait,
money
that
out of
didn't
it.
sell it. Wait, that didn't sell as well. I thought it sold at least to a moderate success to
Yeah,
where.
I think it is sold quite well, but maybe they were hoping it would be like the next Layton or something and sell a lot more than that. You never know, but I mean, the type of game it is, I think it would find quite a good home for mobile, for people who do buy games on their phones and so on. I reckon they would really like Fantasy Life if Level 5 can port across a good version of that game. But anyway, that pretty much covers all the Level 5 Vision Conference news, which is pretty much our entire Nintendo news segment for this week. I will say, as a little footnote, we did hear more news about Xenoblade Chronicles.
I forgot that direct was it was yesterday. It was, but it's Japanese only.
That's why I've not officially concluded it. I've seen the footage. It does look pretty cool, though.
The more I see of this, I'm really I need a U.S. release date for this. But it got me thinking. It's like Japan had three directs. One was covering the battle system. Wait, no, one was covering the doll, like the dolls, the mechanized robots that you'll be controlling the game.
Which
Second
was this
one,
most recent one, yeah?
yeah, that was the recent one. The one before that was the combat system, and the first one was
Just the world?
the world. Yeah, it was about the world and exploration. And it got me thinking. I'm just going to assume when it's our turn in Europe and the States to get this, we may just get one giant direct,
I would imagine so, yeah.
or are they just going to be like, oh, here's these directs with English dubs right now, even though there have been sites who have done the subtitles for it.
Yeah, I reckon we might just get like a best hits of these three, as it were, with some new stuff as a new Xenoblade Direct at some point.
Makes me think, will we see the guy who voices Shulk in this? Not Shulk, the guy who voiced him.
Well, I mean, do you remember that original trailer for X? And it
Yes.
ended with a guy which looked a bit like Shulk.
Yes, I did remember that.
Suspiciously, just this one guy, quite focused on the background, as if he was going to be of some importance. I reckon he will make an appearance at some point in the story. So yeah, I reckon the voice caster will return. I reckon they will tie this game and the last game up in a pretty bow, but not until the very end.
Well, no, are we suggesting that these are taking place like in the same planet, or maybe just.
Depends. I mean, Xenoblade gets very weird at the end of that game, which opens it up to different worlds and so on, without saying too much. So yeah, it's left in a way that it could pretty much connect with anything based on reality, and we know that this new game, it seems to have some sort of connections to the real world, in terms of it's got names of
In
new.
Xenoblade X,
Yes, an X.
NX Mira. Mira is the planet. The town that they are in is New Los Angeles.
Exactly, yeah. So it's based off Los Angeles as such. So it means it was. They've travelled from Earth at some point. So yeah, I think they will try and connect the two games. And to do it, Shulk will probably make some appearance.
Yeah, and this leads me, okay, I'm speculating on this, whatever, but once we get closer to, a U.S. release date, do you think we'll see, like, amiibo support for this game at all?
That's a tricky one.
Because Japan's getting it this later, this end of April, that's a given right there, and we're probably getting here in Europe and the States, I'm gonna guess late August, September.
Yeah, well, actually, I'll take the punt. Yeah, I reckon they'll patch amiibo support into this game, just because of the amount of like customization and all that stuff they've been going through. I think they could easily find a use for it. Got an amiibo of one of the particular dolls, it unlocks that and all of its equipment, which is on that amiibo. Just something like that, and it saves you spending that digital money.
Exactly. But that remind me, if we're going to get, like, any special, like, because I know Japan's getting, like, a special pack-in, like, bundle, like, Xenoblade X bundle with the Wii U.
Yeah. I reckon we could see that for Christmas and the holiday over here.
Well, here's the thing, though. The Wii U one, it's not packaged as a physical release. It's packaged, like, into the console, and Xenoblade X comes at, like, around, like, a file size of, like, 24 gigs.
Yeah.
So, coupled with the fact that the system that's on there, you're probably left with maybe, like, what has to run the OS on there, you're left with maybe, like, 3 or 4 gigs to play with.
Yeah, that's quite shocking. You never know, maybe a couple months from now, once we've got E3, maybe they'll announce 64-bit Wii U, and that's the version we'll get for the holiday season with this loaded on.
My ideal bundle for that game would be the game and maybe like a little, not like a little, but like a, kind of like what they did with the, Majora's Mask, for the 3DS, they had a, Skull Kid, figurine. Maybe we can get a doll figurine or one of the characters.
That would be cool.
Dolls, the mechs would be great. That'd be something I have.
A
doll of a doll. There we go. But
actually, keep it simple as well. Just have an art book. Would work great on this game. Just the art direction. A simple art book of, you know, just some of the locations, the details and the dolls, just character designs. That would work great as well.
One thing to last on this. I could be wrong on this, but apparently in the game, Monolith Soft has decided to name, like, one of the red dolls, like the red mechas in there. Apparently there's a code name basically for it, calling it Mario, and then green one's Luigi. I'm thinking, like, okay, that's pretty good. Okay, I'm cool with that. But again, that's enough Xenoblade talk. I haven't checked that out. I've only checked screenshot grabs from the that direct, and I'm just too lazy to translate myself.
So. Yeah, I'm sure we'll find some sort of game explain-esque, or if not them, sort of video detailing absolutely everything in that video.
They do a good job doing that, by the way.
They do a good job of that.
Just as good as Bill Trennan. I mean, his translation. I was like, wow.
Awesome. Okay, that will officially cover our Nintendo news for this week. And now we'll start talking about our big feature, DS and N64 games we'd like to see come to the newly announced virtual consoles on the Wii U. So yeah, I mean, we've got two systems which have started to have games added to them. But what would we like to see after these initial announced releases? Both of them obviously have quite big libraries, although which games actually make it across obviously going to be much more limited. We usually see mostly first-party stuff. I don't think we should rule out the third-party stuff either, though.
There are a couple on there I wouldn't rule out as much to see. Well, at the beginning, before this recording, we were going to leave out N64 tiles altogether because it's been on a virtual console, but I argued with Lewis to say, like, well, let's go a little further as far as N64 tiles that haven't been on there or need a little bit more recognition. Because I was a little shocked that we saw Donkey Kong 64 that's on the virtual console right now. Well, I think it is on here in the States, or is it in Europe now?
It's definitely on the European virtual console. I think it's on the American one as well.
I haven't checked, so I had to look under that. But
yeah, that's a good sign, because obviously that's a game which didn't get released on the Wii's virtual console, and so the fact that they're releasing that means they're happy to, you know, to take another look at the library and see what they can bring across.
Yeah, that is one on there. Well, as far as styles, we can any title I guess developed by Rare is left out on this. So
not obviously exclusively, because obviously the one example we've named so far, Donkey Kong 64, was developed by Rare. But yeah, a lot of their games will be ruled out because of they own their original IPs.
Yeah, Perfect Dark is one. Because I keep forgetting, like, that was both developed and Rare also published that themselves.
Oh, I wasn't even aware of that.
Yeah, I believe they published that one themselves, the same with Conker's Bad Fur Day. but in Europe, I think THQ published it.
Nintendo wouldn't touch that.
Oh, no, they would not. I remember the development of that. I remember when it started out as Conquer Six, Six Tales, I believe. Conquer Six Tales. And reading on Nintendo Power episode one, issue 1 year, and I saw, Conquer goes mature. I'm like, wait, what? And I'm reading through this, I'm like, are you serious?
Was the month April?
But no, it's a few of those titles. Yeah, you can leave out. Although there may be some room for me to say, can Jet Force Gemini make a return? Maybe Rare could have some.
Well, that's an interesting one. I mean, they've not used the IP, but I would assume that it's one that they moved across to Microsoft when they were bought.
I assume.
Yeah, but we've not seen anything from Jet Force Gemini to really prove that fact, so you never know. It could be one of those little things that somehow Nintendo has the rights to, but haven't done anything with it. It'd be good to see if they just bring that one out and actually make something from it.
I remember I was frustrated with that game quite some time. I guess because it was at that time where games really couldn't figure out a good camera system for a third-person shooter.
Yeah.
And, of course, it wasn't until, Resident Evil 4 comes around and actually, revolutionized that and actually fixes it. But for Resident Evil's case, it ruined them because they went away from horror and more to action. But that's a whole different story.
I think Jet Force Gemini is a good example, really, because it's a game that I really, really liked back in the day. But it's also a game I've tried to go back to a few times. And every time I've tried to get back to it, I've never managed to get very far. Partly due to the controls are just very different to what I'm used to in modern games. And also partly due to the graphics as well. They're not bad by any means, but again, because it's kind of, it's quite similar in some ways to modern first-person shooters. Oh, yeah, but in other ways it's very different, and it's just kind of that disconnect. But yeah,
I'm not sure that
would be a game, even with the rights made. I'm not sure that would be a great one to go back to nowadays, compared to some of the games which I think are a bit more timeless.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why they released Mario 64 as the first N64 game on the virtual console for the Wii U, is because looking on that as a whole, it's a milestone because every 3D platformer after that borrowed something from that, and it owes a lot to it. Now, even though I am one of those people that still, to this day, will say that either Galaxy or Galaxy 2 is far superior than Mario 64.
Exactly, yeah, but it definitely, it definitely holds its own, as it were. It's still a fun game and a responsive game.
Oh, no, it's
by anyone today.
I agree. It is one of those games that's going to be timeless, almost in the same vein as the original Super Mario Brothers will be.
Exactly.
Because I will say that, if you're doing general simplistic game design, Super Mario Brothers or even Pong or even Galaga or something like that are something games that show to basic progression of design, whatever, going from left to right, having endings, death, all such. And then you go to Mario 64, this is how you do platforming. I will say, in a 3D space. But I will say, looking back, Mario 64's camera was not the best, but it wasn't as bad as, say, Sunshine, for instance.
So yeah, let's pull a couple of games here from the DS
I did think of one. And this was a 64 game, actually. And this is only released in the Europe and Japan. It might have been Europe only or Japan, but it was Nintendo published.
Okay.
The only reason I know about it is because it was a trophy in Super Smash Bros. Melee. Doshin the Giant.
Wait, was that N64?
It was. Or it was N64 DD, the disk drive.
Oh, okay. I always thought it was a GameCube game for some reason. It's not the one I've played, though, so it's...
you know what? That might have been a game. Wow, I'm lost right now because I know that the original Animal Crossing
was
appeared on the N64 first, and it was called Animal Forest, and then they ported that over to the GameCube in 2002.
Yeah. So yeah, I've got a few ideas on the DS front, because I think it's quite interesting how they handle the emulation for the DS and the
Wii U. don't I'm going to admit here, I've owned a DS, and there are a few good memories I have with there, but I didn't have as... And, you know, and to this day, it remains Nintendo's best-selling piece of hardware.
Yeah.
It is the only thing that comes remotely close, I think, to either just slightly tying the PS2 or just usurping it as far as the best-selling console of all time, but I think it barely missed the mark. I didn't have as many good memories with my DS as opposed to, like, my Game Boy Advance.
Which is quite bizarre, really, because the GBA wasn't really around for that long. But for the length of time it was around, it had a load of great games for it.
I'm sure, wait, all right, 2001, 2, and the D... Oh, it was 2001, and when did the DS drop? 2004 or 2005?
I think, was it 4? Because there was a move on that,
yep,
wasn't there?
Yep, it was 2004, because I remember in... It was, like, the weeks leading up to E3... And it was the first, E3 conference with Reggie, and they had mentioned how this was going to be three pillars. Yeah. And then, of course, I think it just the Game Boy brand went off to the wayside.
Well, yeah, I think didn't they announce the DS and the Game Boy Micro at the same time?
Yes. Did you ever have a Micro?
I did have a Micro, actually.
I did not. Does that thing control well? I mean,
it does. It takes. It's a bit weird to get used to the absolutely tiny screen. Probably even weirder nowadays, because obviously phones and such keep on growing. but yeah, the screen is really sharp.
Isn't it odd how back when before we had smartphones with flip phones, they just kept getting smaller and smaller and thinner. And now with smartphones right now, it's always they're just getting bigger, and bigger and bigger. We're having the opposite of this.
Yeah. So yeah, Game Boy Micro is a pretty cool little device.
But DS titles, I was looking at your list, like on here, and two titles come to mind.
Right, hit me.
One, WayForward's developed title, take on Contra 4. Yes. Love to see that again, revisit it again. Secondly, what was what I wanted to see? One of the Castlevania titles that I missed out on. It was the sequel to Aria of Sorrow. I'd really like to see that ported over to the 3D to the Wii U's Virtual Console.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of great Castlevania games on the DS, so no reason not to eventually bring them all across. I think it'd be interesting for games like Professor Layton to come over, because I think they would make quite a good fit on the Wii U. So you could just split the screens as you would on the DS, so you have the top screen on, take up
the
TV.
Work the puzzles on the touchscreen and such.
Yeah, and I think that could be good for couples and so on. You could, pass the gamepad around, but still have the story and the cutscenes and such. They won't look fantastic, but I think the art style should hold up okay, blown up. So yeah, I think anything like that would look quite cool, and also in the same vein, Ghost Trick.
For
the makers of Phoenix Wright, I reckon that would look quite cool as well, and play pretty good on the Wii U. So I'd like to see that move over.
Elite Beat Agents, that could be one.
That as well, yeah. That'd be fun for spectators, because they can see the scenarios play out on the TV while you're mashing around on the gamepad.
That is right. That is
Where it gets a bit tricky, I think a lot of the good DS titles are kind of remakes and ports, where I think they'll be kind of treading on their own toes with their other Virtual Console releases.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're going to see The Legend of Zelda, Phantom Hourglass, and Spirit Tracks get released on there, but thing is, I never really enjoyed the DS Zelda titles.
No, I think those in particular look particularly bad blown up as well. So they don't really ever look good in the first place on the small screens. I don't know what they'll look like on a big TV blown up.
Just the way it's the way they controlled. I understand that they were wanting to use the stylus to move Link around, and they did have a really lot of good puzzle elements where you would look onto a map. If you had to remember, you'd make notes. I thought was
That brings up an interesting point, actually. I think a couple of other games did this across the whole library, but one of the puzzles in Phantom Hourglass involved you closing the DS.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
How would you replicate that with the I'm sure they'll find a way.
I'm sure they'll find a way to bypass it, but it's wow,
yeah,
that'd I forgot
be interesting
about that.
To see.
Would it be too soon to bring back Kirby's Canvas Curse?
I thought that was interesting. I reckon it could work. It might, tie in quite well with it's got a different title over here, hasn't it? The Rainbow Curse.
Yeah, Rainbow Curse is the Wii U verse, which I still need to pick up.
Yeah, and same. I reckon that could work as a nice promotion tool. I don't think the price would be too cheap in terms of them being worried that people would buy this, the DS version instead of buying the new Wii U one. I think it could work in their favor, or they could even do a discount if you own one to the other. I think that could be quite smart. It'd be interesting to see things like New Super Mario Bros. Despite us having like a U entry, whether they would put that across.
That is true. I'm trying to think of some other DS titles that could obviously work for this.
When I put on this list, I'm being strangely drawn towards, although I'm not sure why. And it's three words, and it's Super Princess Peach. It's not a game I've ever played. But if it popped up on the Virtual Console, I think I would be tempted enough to download it.
I'm not judging. I'm not judging. So I wouldn't be against it.
I've heard many a bizarre thing about that game and how you use your emotional powers to traverse the many varied environments. It's one of those things that I could never justify paying full price for, but maybe for a Virtual Console release. It's like an interesting experiment from Nintendo. It's that sort of game I think I'd be more leaning towards opposed to something actually I've already played.
I thought it was an interesting experiment from just like, oh wow, Peach is the star of this one, and Mario is kidnapped instead.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be fun to play. We touched on it before, but there's a lot of great ports, which would be interesting to see whether they'll try to bring over or not, like Chrono Trigger. There's a few games.
That's one of the few DS games I own, because, the Chrono Trigger version on that one was actually the PlayStation 1 version with the new cinematics by Akira Toriyama.
Yes.
Which, of course, he did the artwork, wasn't the artwork for the original, but, and this was like, it was like Final Fantasy Chronicles or something like that for the PlayStation 1. And it included that and, what was it? I forgot. I'll tip my tongue. But it was some other title that was not necessarily Final Fantasy related. But, well, of course, it was Final Fantasy Chronicles. But beside the point. No, I wouldn't mind that.
But with that, there were like remakes of Final Fantasy games, Dragon Quest games, Kirby Superstar. A lot of great ports.
Final Fantasy III, yeah, that was the one that was never came here to the States. Not the three that we know and love from the Super Nintendo. The three that never came here originally. Yeah. And they remade that.
So, yeah, do you have any more N64 entries?
Mine, aside from Dash and the Giant, again, GoldenEye is a very tricky thing to do because, like I said in the last podcast, you have Activision, Nintendo, and Rare, / Microsoft to actually divvy up money, and that's never going to happen. It's really hard for me to decide really good ones to put on here because when you look at it, the N64 did not have that many games during its life cycle. It only had maybe 200.
Yeah, and especially when you're looking at the top games, when you take out a lot of the rare games and the games which have already released on the Wii Virtual Console, then, you're kind of at a bit of slim pickings.
Well, yeah. I mean, the only thing I would actually think about putting on there is Nintendo published Japanese exclusives, because they did that once with Sin and Punishment.
Yes.
That release coincided, of course, with getting a sequel to it, which was just as well done. And I think that's coming to the as a digital release on the eShop as well soon, isn't it?
No. European Wii Virtual Console. Yes, it's if it hasn't already, it is dropping soon.
There's that. I don't know. Really, there's not that much to think about. It's
yeah. I was going through a list of N64 games, and most of them were either, oh, it's a rare game that won't work, or it's you know, it's one of the Zeldas or one of the Marios. Yeah, they've already ported them. And I got across a game which I've never discussed. I'm wondering if you've played it. It's a little game called Wetrix.
Wetrix?
I guess that's a no. It was kind of...
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
It was like a 3D Tetris where the blocks would fall down on this like bit of flat land, and you would essentially try to make areas where water would fall, and you would essentially be building up pools of water, and the most water you could collect as such before it all kind of dripped out the sides of this a borderless island, the more points you would get, and so on. And it was quite a cool take on a puzzle game, really. I just saw it on that list, and that reminded me of playing that. That would be an interesting game. I think we're looking at more of those kind of niche games now on the N64.
Yeah. only other one I can think of is Kirby 64, the Crystal Shards. That's it.
Did that launch on the Wii Virtual Console? I can't remember.
Yes, it did, I believe.
So yeah, I think we'll take it granted. Anything they did release on the Wii one, it'd be good to bring over. And to be honest, although there's not a huge amount of them, the ones they did bring over are all pretty good releases. You got the two Zeldas, obviously you got Mario.
But again, we have both those two Zeldas. I mean, recently they've been remade on the 3DS.
Had Wave Race and 1080 as well, original Smash Bros. Mario Kart 64.
Wave Race. I feel like that's a series that'd be prime for Nintendo to actually release as like an eShop exclusive.
Actually,
but like a new title.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I want to see a new Wave Race and a new 1080. Obviously, there's only two of each of those games, and I reckon it's worth having another stab. I'm sure they could do a cool take. But you know, what I was thinking, I was just about to say Mario Party 2 was one of the other games they released. There's a bunch of other Mario Party games they could release too.
Well, yeah, they could release about, well...
Why not? I mean, if you're going to release one of them,
new one out.
Might as well release all of them. Exactly, But I'm hearing lots of mixed messages about the new game. And so if people don't like 10, maybe they could buy 1, 2, 3, and 4, however which numbers there were on the 64, and it kind of adds up.
Here's my opinion on Mario Party. Two things. One, why isn't this online? It needs to be. And secondly, it doesn't really matter what version. If somebody has a game of Mario Party, be it if it's on the 64, GameCube, Wii, or even the Wii U right now, you know you're going to sit down and play it if you have a group of friends.
True. I've not played the latest one, or 9, but they do seem to play quite differently to the ones which came before it, because you all travel together in that little car across the board, so you don't actually kind of split up and form your own strategies. So yeah, I mean, maybe that would make more sense of having one of those older games to kind of balance it out a bit. But yeah, I'm kind of struggling on the 64 side, so I'll jump back on the DS side for a little bit.
I think when it comes down to the DS right now, is since we're struggling with 64 tiles to think of, I'm just going to say it once more, and where are the GameCube games?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Which I'm just losing faith on ever being released. So
yeah, I'm not sure they're going to come, unfortunately. I think it might just be a power issue, because I don't think it can natively run the GameCube games.
What do you mean by natively? As in, like, just, the console can't power it? Or is it just...
No, as in, like, because obviously on a Wii, you can put in a GameCube disc and it will play it. And that's because it has GameCube hardware in there, essentially, to run it. Now, the Wii U doesn't, and that's why you can't just put in a GameCube disc. And so, in order to play GameCube games, it would need to emulate it. But in order to do that, you need a machine many, many times the power of the original one. And although, obviously, it is more powerful, I'm not sure it's enough times powerful to run GameCube smoothly. Can't say I've tested it. But it just seems one of those things that the 360 had trouble running some Xbox games, and I don't believe the new systems could emulate the old systems, because it takes a lot more power to do it.
Yeah, I can see what your point on there. I'm thinking of a few GameCube games that would be just prime for that. I mean, F-Zero GX, maybe Beautiful Joe. There's a few, just anything that you could probably muster up on that. But it just, the reason I can't think of so many DS games is just, I never did buy a lot of games for that handheld.
It yeah, but I mean, like that could work out well. I mean, that's sometimes the benefit of having a virtual console system. You get not just relive the games that you played at a young age, you can just buy the ones you missed at a much cheaper price than what they would have been at the time.
Oh, yeah, that's what I did for the Legend of Zelda Minish Cap on the Game Boy Advance. I haven't played it yet, but I downloaded that right before the Digital Deluxe program ended, and I figured, I haven't played it. So I don't know. I can't think of any other DS.
A couple of games on the DS I've missed out on were the Mario & Luigi games.
I played it
on the Game Boy Advance, the original, Superstar Saga. But I didn't play Partners in Time or Bowser's Inside Story. And I've heard good things about both, especially Inside Story. So if either one of those was to drop on the VC, I would definitely download to check it out. But then we do have some entries where I think, due to the setup on the DS, it wouldn't quite work. I think games like Ninja Gaiden, Dragon Sword.
That's a good one there. Download the demo for that.
I think it's good on the DS, but I don't think it would work very well emulated on the Wii U. Because you need to see both screens at the same time. You'd either have the setup where you see both screens on the TV or both screens on the gamepad. I don't think you could play it really having the screen split up on the two screens on the Wii U. I think there's a few games like that. And also, you mentioned earlier Contra 4 would be great to bring over. But I think that would have the same problem. Whereas, because you have to see both screens at the same time, they have to be lined up. You would have to play it on the, essentially on the TV on the split screen, which would be playable, but it looks a bit odd.
Oh, yeah.
Because you would have the huge vertical bars as well at that point. Mm. So you've got these two you're essentially just using up a third of your TV, and then that being split up into two separate screens. I think it would work, but yeah. It would be a different experience.
Well, yeah.
a little small one I'd add in as well. Planet Puzzle League. Because I don't currently have a way to play Puzzle League on my Wii U. Apart from if you go into Wii mode, I can play Pokemon Puzzle League, which is quite fun. But I wouldn't say no to Planet Puzzle League and play it on the gamepad.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think we're hitting the end of our list now of games we'd like to see return.
I think it is. I mean, but what was I trying to think of? Do you think the DS and even N64 games are overpriced right now? Because I've said that they're overpriced.
I think the whole virtual console pricing is overpriced. Because I think these fit in it quite well. But I think the whole thing just looks expensive now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd just like to see all the prices get dropped down a bit.
See, yeah. I feel like for an N64 title, it should be around maybe $8-$9 in DS titles.
That, or it's just more varied pricing, because some of these games, you get so much use out of, so the pricing would be fine. But other games are a bit more single purpose, or just kind of more bite-sized, and then it just seems it is a bit too expensive. So yeah, I'm not sure what the answer is, just lowering the price altogether, or having varied prices where what we're paying now currently is the premium mode, essentially, and you got ones which can be half that price for. I don't know, maybe if they released Art Academy, or maybe even things like Puzzle League, which were released at a budget price originally, they could be a cheaper price now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but I would like to see the prices come down a
little bit. Well, we shall see, because you're going to get these. Since it's taken shockingly quite some time for Super Mario, N64 games to get on the Virtual Console right now, what is it? I just don't understand why it took that long. So, yeah, oh well. I don't know. I'm back at GameCube games, but again, that's a whole different story that we already discussed. So, move on.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we'll end our personal list here, but of course, if you've got a DS game in mind that we've not said, or an N64 game we've not mentioned yet, feel free to write in and let us know, and we'll maybe have a second segment on the show.
Reader mail. We
can go over reader mail. We can go over your personal virtual console requests, as it were. Unfortunately, we can't fulfill them ourselves, but maybe we can pass them on to the Big N. Of course, yeah, and yeah, do send your reader mail in as well. You can send your questions or your virtual console requests, as it were, to contact@infendo.com. Before we do end the show completely, though, we'll go around the small group here and give out our contact details.
Small group.
Yeah, we'll go around the room. Harrison, we'll start on your side.
My Twitter handle is hmilfeld, and it's all one word. Sorry. H-M-I-L-F-E-L-D, as in dog, and my Nintendo Network ID for Miiverse, whatnot, is Hybrid Meta, H-Y-B-R-I-D, as in dog, M-E-T-A, all one word again. So, Hybrid Meta.
Excellent. And mine for both Twitter and Miiverse is the word Illusion, which is spelled L-E-U-V-S-I-O-N. And with that, we have finally and officially hit the end of this show, episode 348. This has been Infendo Radio. Thank you for listening.
Bye, everybody.